May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I'm having a bit of trouble with microphones today, and I don't want that one to poke me in the eye. Right. Once upon a time, a postman was greeted at the front gate of a house by a boy and a huge dog. The postman said to the boy, "Does your dog bite?" "No," replied the boy, at which point the huge dog bit the postman, who yelled, "I thought you said your dog doesn't bite." "It doesn't," said the boy. "It's not my dog." A clear case of mistaken identity. I reckon the most serious case of mistaken identity took place getting on for 2,000 years ago. It happened when Pontius Pilate mistook Jesus for the wrong sort of king. Look at the charge sheet pinned up by Pilate on the cross of Jesus. Luke 23:38, there was also an inscription over him, some manuscripts add in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, saying, "This is the King of the Jews." There was no other charge, no other crime charged against him. Jesus had done nothing wrong. Pontius Pilate had satisfied himself of that. He had tried Jesus and could find no fault in him, which is why he would not write any charge to be hung above him on the cross except this one terse, to him ironic statement that he was the King of the Jews. We read elsewhere that the rulers objected to this. They wanted Pilate to write, "He said he was the King of the Jews," but Pilate wouldn't change a word. And there it stood above his head during all the agony and the darkness, the King of the Jews. So he was. Though erected to mock the prisoner, the inscription told the truth. He was the Messiah. He was the Messiah who had been promised all through the preceding centuries. He was the real king, of whom the great King David was only an early, imperfect example. This was the Christ who had been foretold by the prophets, the Christ waited for age after age by his nation. At last he came. Angels sang at his birth. His life had been one of great blessings and great power. He had worked miracles of mercy, forgiveness, and blessing all over the country. He had taught, speaking with a unique power and authority. Some people saw him in him all the marks of the Messiah. Some people did, but by no means all. His enemies had rejected him, of course. And at the end, as we see today on the feast that celebrates his kingship, they led him out to Calvary. They nailed him to the cross. And still he was their king rejected, their king crucified. His cross was his throne, his crown, a crown of thorns which cruel soldiers had twisted and pushed down hard upon his bruised head. Today is the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ the King, our modern title for what used to be called Stir Up Sunday. With this theme, it certainly should stir up the wills of the faithful. For although it doesn't look to the world as a royal moment in our Lord's life when he hangs upon the cross dying, yet eventually its true nature was revealed to his disciples, and the world still doesn't see it. But it did soon become obvious to the eyes of faith that as he hung there upon that cross, it really was the time of his highest earthly exaltation. He had spoken of going to his cross as going to be glorified. He was indeed the King. They crucified the King. He is our King too. How much do we crucify him? It does leave us with a number of vital questions, which I will leave you with. Because his example of leadership is not a popular one now. Few of our world leaders would own Jesus' motto that they came not to be served, but to serve. And what about us, the electors? Which of us would elect a leader who was as kind to foreigners and outcasts as Jesus was? His standards of kingship are a whole order of magnitude greater and more gracious and more forgiving than any we see or are asked to vote for. I hope in our hearts that we would own him as our King. But how are we treating him now? How well are we obeying him today? Are any among us rejecting him? Are any of us crucifying him afresh in our treatment or neglect of others? Are we putting up barriers that he tore down 2,000 years ago when he went as a volunteer to that cross? If we are to live in him and he in us, these are indeed vital questions. I'm leaving them to you as I say this prayer. Stir up, O Lord, the wills of your faithful people, that we, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may by you be plenteously rewarded. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and King. Amen.